You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
If your Social Security benefits have been denied, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Again, that's 1-800-ELK-OHIO. They will help you get those Social Security benefits. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Over the weekend, the Browns hosted their three-day rookie mini camp, and one guy who was fired up about it is the defensive coordinator of this team, Jim O'Neill, quickly becoming a media superstar. Here is his press conference from rookie minicamp.
Okay, it's been a great start to the offseason. I'm very excited about the guys we have coming back, excited about the guys we signed in free agency. I'm excited about the guys we drafted. Right now, the guys are working hard. They're learning from last year's film, and they're doing a good job in the weight room. And the big thing that we're stressing right now as a defense with our coaching staff is we want to win the offseason. And that's important to us. I know it's probably not important for a lot of people, but it's important to us. We want to win the offseason attendance-wise as far as the weight room's concerned and with our drill work. So that's where our focus is, and our guys have done an outstanding job so far.
Being placed on stopping the run. Paul Kruger talked about it a little bit. And how much do you think Danny Shelton can help immediately in that department?
Well, stopping the run's huge for us. Okay, and as a coaching staff, we spent most of our offseason studying it. I am very confident in the players in the room that we can get it done. I'm very confident in the scheme. The scheme has proven success in this league when it comes to stopping the run. But stopping the run leads to a lot of things. It leads to more turnovers, more sacks, because you're putting offenses in more predictable situations, okay? It leads to less plays on the field, which leads to less injuries, okay, when you're not out there as much. And then it also leads to more possessions for our offense, which means more points. So our defensive philosophy, all right, was built on stopping the run first. And the guys know that. They understand it. It was one of the first things that I talked to them about last April when I met with them. And when we stop the run, now it allows us to be exotic with some of our pressure packages and get after a quarterback. But it's all built on stopping the run first. We have to earn the right to get after the quarterback. And if we don't earn the right, then we find ourselves in 50-50 downs where it's hard to get after the quarterback.
Most of the moves you guys made were on the defensive front with Danny and Cooper and Starks. When you went back and watched the film of last year, did you find that that's where you guys were most susceptible up front as opposed to linebackers or secondary helping against the run?
No. The biggest thing that came out of our study is it takes all 11. And I would say that the D-line was one of the more sound groups for us as far as stopping the run. Okay, the three things that came up the most for us were missed tackles, us being stuck on blocks, and we had alignment issues. Okay. I do think a lot of that stuff will get corrected just being year two of the system. I think that it'll get corrected from the guys having a second year of the same coach and learning the techniques. But for us, when we went back and really studied our run, I think there were 500 rushes against us last year. Okay, 87 of those rushes went for 8 yards or more. That's where the problem is. Those are the ones we got to eliminate right there. Almost half of our yardage last year in the run game came from explosive runs. So if we can improve on those 87 out of 500 plays, I think that ends up putting us in the top five in rush defense. So that's where it is. And when you have running plays going for 8 yards or more, it's not just on the D line, it's on everybody at that point. Usually there's three or four guys that are at fault. So that's where we need to take a jump in year two.
Well, you guys did so much on the defensive line, man. And how come, are you satisfied with inside linebacker, or do you think, let me ask that. Are you
satisfied? Am I satisfied with where we're at inside backer? I'm satisfied with where we're at as a defense. I think we would have been a damn good defense if we would have taken 10 offensive guys in the draft. Okay, I'm happy that we took 7 defensive guys in the draft. I'm happy with the guys that we chose. I'm happy because they're guys that we thought were good players as a defensive staff. I was shocked some of those guys were available when they were and when we took them. But more importantly, those are guys that play like Browns. They have our type of mentality, and they're going to be great fits in the locker room.
Jim, we've been hearing a lot this offseason. It seems to be that everybody believes that Justin Gilbert really is going to make a comeback and turn this thing around. What evidence do you have that he's going to do that?
Well, it was good to see that he took a step in the right direction and kind of reached out to Joe Hayden, went down to Florida and worked out with him. He's been very attentive in meetings. He's doing a good job in the weight room. He's been much more engaged with the players in the locker room. So, you know, if I had a crystal ball, I'm excited to get to OTAs and get into 11-on-11 drills and see how he's grown. That is a hard position to play in this league, especially in our defense where we're going to put you out there on an island. But I would expect Justin to make a jump just because it's year two for him. It's not his rookie year. But I do see a new focus with him coming into this season.
Are you cautiously optimistic that he can be the number six pick that you guys selected last year?
Yeah, I mean, he flashes the talent, but he did that last year too. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. I don't want to say cautiously. I'm optimistic. I think I have confidence in Jeff Hafley, Bobby Babich, and Aaron Glenn to get him going, and I think he's going to show major improvement this year.
What did you guys see in Xavier Cooper that made you want to move up for him, and where do you think he fits on your line?
We see him as what we call a big end or a D tackle. I see him as an explosive guy off the line of scrimmage that can get into the backfield and be disruptive. His first step quickness is unbelievable. You know, I think if you asked me or you asked Weave, our D-line coach, we thought he had probably the best first step of interior lineman in the draft. We had him ranked as a coaching staff very high. We were shocked that he was there at the bottom of the third round. And we were pretty excited when the trade happened in the draft and we went to go get him.
Go back to the run defense. 500 attempts against you, which is second highest in the league. Does that not indicate more than big plays? Correct me if I'm wrong. Does that indicate teams are able to sustain drives and keep things going?
Yeah, and I think it also indicates that we led the NFL in defensive plays. So we're going to have more rushes than everybody else. But there's no doubt. We need to stop that. We're going to stop that. That's what we're focused on.
Leading the league in defensive, is that third down problem? Is that run defense?
Well, I think it's a combination. We were pretty good on third down. I think we were 11th in the NFL. I mean, obviously, we want to be better. We want to be first. But I think that, you know, 2 years ago, I think we went from 31st in the NFL on third down to 11th. That's not a bad jump in 1 year of the system. So, you know, and we hope to make another jump this year. You know, we want to be – our goal is one, but we want to be in that top five on third down. But, again, I think it's a lot of things. Not stopping the run, offenses being in predictable situations, being out there too many possessions. You know, some of that's team stuff, some of that's on us.
You were ninth against in points a lot, is that right, I think?
Yes, nine.
I mean, how do you really explain it? Some of the numbers don't seem to balance. I think you were 27th on third down, if I remember.
Two years ago. No, third down we were 11th.
Oh, okay. All right, that was last. Okay.
You're talking about overall rank.
Yeah.
Like, right. I'll just say this. There's five major categories, okay, that determines who wins and loses football games if you look at a defense. Points, turnovers, quarterback rating, red zone defense, third down defense. Okay, we were pretty good in those five categories. All right, now mentality-wise, we want to be a bully on defense. To be a bully on defense, you have to stop the run. All right, that's where it all starts for us. To win in the AFC North, you have to stop the run. To win games late in the season, you have to be able to stop the run. And then to win games in the playoffs, which is what our goal is, you have to be able to stop the run. So we feel good about where we were at with those five categories, but we know as a defense and we know as an organization, we need to stop the run, okay, to be a dominant group and to be that bully that we talk about.
How deflating is it? I mean, again, your numbers against the pass were excellent and like you said, ninth against Steven. But how deflating was it sometimes to be in those situations and they do break off a run for a defense, and tiring to keep the drive extended?
Yeah, it's hard to swallow. I mean, when teams can run the ball on you, it's hard. You know, and that's what we told our guys. We talk about being a bully. To be a bully, you got to stop the run. You can't allow that to happen to your defense.
What did you think about Shelton as far as you guys were going through the process? Did you think if we get a guy like this, this is a big step in that direction as far as stopping the run?
I was confident either way, but I'm glad we have Danny. You know, I was confident with the guys we had coming back, but am I glad we drafted Danny 12 overall? Hell yeah. He's a big body who was dominant at Washington and in the Pac-12 for 2 years. He's a guy that's going to command four hands on him or two bodies on him. And when you have that, you keep linebackers clean over the top. And the thing he doesn't get credit enough for is he's not going to have great sack production, but he's going to push the pocket and get the quarterback off his spot. And that's going to open things up for the rest of our pass rushers. And that's what we really needed in the pass game. Somebody that could push the pocket, collapse the pocket on the quarterback, get him off the spot, and now flush it to a guy like Paul Kruger or Mingo or Nate Orchard or Xavier Cooper or Dez Bryant, Armani Bryant, all those guys. So to me, he's going to help us tremendously there too.
I know this isn't a question necessarily for you, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway. How confident are you that you're going to have everything taken care of with Tayshaun coming into training camp?
I mean, when you say taken care of, do you mean
I try to
stay out of it, the contract stuff, because I think that there's that fine line that coaches have to be really careful of crossing. I have talked to Deshaun. You know, he's asked me some questions. I've given him just my honest input on what I could do. Obviously, everything right now is voluntary. Do I wish he was here? Absolutely. I, especially in the secondary with my experience of this system, and we were pretty good last year in the secondary is the one group that can take the biggest jump from year one to year two, just because of how complex we are back there. The guys that are here are getting a lot better. We have great coaches in that room, great coaches, okay? And those guys are growing. Jordan Poyer's growing, Whitner's growing, the corners are growing. So Gibbs gonna have some catching up to do when he does come back.
Did you go out and talk to Cooper personally, or how did that work?
I did private workouts with Danny Shelton, Xavier Cooper, and Nate Orchard, all three guys that were our first three defensive picks, and I went out to dinner with all of them. So I got to know them all. I wanted to know going into it, are they the guys that we want? Are they play like a Brown? Are they guys that are gym rats? Do they possess the mentality we're looking for? Are they tough? And I was satisfied with all three of those guys that they would fit in our locker room, and they were exactly what we were looking for on defense.
So did you make a pitch for moving up for Cooper?
No. We met with Ray and Pett about a week before the draft, and we talked about every guy that the scouts had a draftable grade on. We did our own grade, and ours is a pure grade. We don't know anything about the character. We don't know anything about the injuries. We just give a pure football grade. And Ray takes that under consideration. We did have a coordinators meeting about 3 or 4 days before the draft. We did some mock draft stuff. Ray asked some situations. You know, how would you compare these guys? How are you going to use this guy if we draft him in your system? Answered all those questions. He knew we loved Coop. Ray went up to go get him.
Last year, was there a moment where you look at the defense and say, this is the type of defense I want, kind of a top highlight from that team?
Obviously, the games we won last year were great experiences, but when I had time to reflect in the offseason about last year, the thing that I'm most proud of, and we didn't win the game, was how we finished the season in Baltimore. For me, how hard our guys played. Joe Hayden played with a bum shoulder. He could barely even lift his arm up. Ishmael Kitchen played with a broken leg, okay? John Hughes battled for weeks to get back and play in that game. I mean, it was just unbelievable to me what those guys did and how hard they played. And you guys have been around what some of the Week 17 games have looked like around here. And we gave up some plays in the fourth quarter, but I was so proud of how that unit came together. I mean, they stayed late throughout the week. It was important to them, and that was really important to me, and that was something that I was like, you know what, we're all in this together, coaching staff-wise, player-wise, and that really validated a lot of things for me.
You know, when you say that, though, it kind of highlights what happened with Brooks and the 8th overall pick, missing a meeting on the road from in the hotel. I mean, I understand what you're saying about all the work he did, but he didn't give you what other guys were giving you.
Not that day. No, but I'm not going to let one guy affect the other 25 guys that we had on defense who sold out for us in week 17 when they essentially weren't playing for anything, as we would put it in the media.
So your experience got a guy who has that much trouble turn around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you elaborate on pieces? When did he break his leg? And did he keep playing?
During the game. Yeah, during the game. I don't know what the exact injury was, if it was a hairline fracture or something in one of the small bones in his leg. But, yeah, he played through it. I mean, to me, that's huge. And that's when you know you got the right guys. Winning's important.
How about Nate Orchard? Can you talk about what Nate brings to the table?
Yeah, obviously he's going to be a great fit in the locker room. I watched his press conference yesterday, so you guys can see the charisma there. But you know, he's dynamic against against the pass. He knows how to get to the quarterback. I can't tell you how many times George DeLeon and Andy Moeller walked into my office and told me he ruined offensive line evals throughout the draft for tackles in the Pac-12. I mean, he's gone against all the ones that were drafted. I think he had 3 sacks against some of them, 4 sacks against some of them. So he did an outstanding job out there. But he's also a guy that's going to help us in the run game. And some of the pass drop stuff we're going to teach him is going to be new to him. But we're going to throw as much at him as we possibly as we can. And we'll see what he can absorb. And then we'll start to build his skill set into our package and how we're going to use him next year.
Just got one when he played.
Who's that?
Efo.
I have been a huge Efo fan for 2 years. To me, he's a first-round corner. He had a very serious knee injury, which we all know. You probably wouldn't take most guys that had that injury in the draft, but after we brought him in and got to know him, there's just no doubt he's going to rebound from it. And just, he's that type of kid. And he's got that type of drive. So to me, it was a steal.
What about Campbell? Do you see him more as a closer to the line safety?
No. I think he can do both. We don't want to draft or we don't want to build our defense around strong safeties and free safeties. To me, that makes you too predictable to an offense. If you watched his college tape, you probably would question, does he have deep half or post ability? And Jeff Hafley went, worked him out. We filmed it. 90% of the drills were geared towards playing the deep half and post. And it was just kind of how they were taught at Northwestern. They were more of a shuffle, flat foot read team, run the alley. And when Jeff put him through those drills, we were more than satisfied that he could play both for us. He could play deep. He's also physical enough to get down into the box.
That was Browns defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill. This guy, I like it. Let me ask you, as a player, when you hear the way that he talks, is this the kind of guy that you would like to play for?
100%. I just love, as a former player, the detail that he talks about these players, the passion and confidence that he has in the players in that locker room, so much so the fact that he said if they would have drafted 10 offensive guys, he was fully comfortable to be a top 5 defense in the National Football League without them. So, and lastly, he identified and didn't shy away from the shortcomings of last year's defense while also too highlighting what they were really good at. You know, and they weren't top 5 in every of those big 6 categories, and that's their goal. And that's what he's pitching, and I'm sure everybody in that defensive room is buying what he's selling.
It's a good thing that defense has an opportunity to be very, very good. When we come back, we are going to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and welcome in Sean McWashington from Washington State, former receiver there. Talk about the Pac-12 players taken by the Browns in this year's draft, all 7 of them. That's coming up when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.